Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State and Northwestern Saturday. That will be at Beaver Stadium, the annual homecoming game. Yesterday on the show, we heard from Pat Fitzgerald at his press conference in Evanston talking about his team and, of course, the showdown with the Nittany Lions. Today, 3:35, we'll have excerpts from Bill O'Brien's press conference that it was held earlier today at the Beaver Stadium media room. So we'll get his feel on his football team and on this game coming up this weekend. And for Penn State, an opportunity to win a fourth consecutive game. They're off to a 1-0 start in the leaders division. Isn't it ironic that after the opening weekend of the season, now look, there's still seven of these to go, but after the opening weekend in the leaders, Penn State and Ohio State are the co-leaders. Isn't that ironic? Oh, well, still a long way to go. But we'll get Bill O'Brien's perspective on this game and on Northwestern and also the state of his football team through five games and what has worked during this winning streak. One of the keys of this game, without question, will be special teams. Northwestern has been outstanding. Venrick Mark is averaging over 25 yards of punt return. He has taken one back 82 yards for a score. Jeff Budzien, the kicker for Northwestern, is 11 for 11 this year. Brandon Williams has been very strong as a punter. Special teams will be a very important component in this game, and Bill O'Brien will talk about that and a lot more when we hear his press conference, at least parts of it, at 3:35. But before we get to all that and another exciting segment on the value of open-wheel racing on a tri-oval with Kevin Herr, first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them, and you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Dan Patrick and another Above the Noise. We're on July 7th. We'll try to be above the noise at Pocono International Raceway. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just trying to figure out our best seat location.
My couch. All right.
No.
That's my best seat location?
No.
How about them Cowboys?
Not doing great.
Jerry yeah. Jones is going to, if he doesn't already, ruse the day he did that.
What? Oh. Look, they won 3 Super Bowls under him. I mean, it's not like he's, not like it's some sort of unqualified disaster.
No, but it, but every time they play terrible, i.e. last night, that's what everybody comments on the next day.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. Look, he doesn't have a good football team. He doesn't have a bad football team, but he doesn't have a good football team. Okay? And it's a big issue. I mean, he has that gorgeous stadium. A lot of things that go with it. All the amenities you could possibly ask for. You name it, they got it. And guess what? They are no better than okay.
Romo last night had 5 picks. I know one was probably not his fault because his receiver, Dez Bryant, ran the wrong route or it, something didn't look right. But a rating of 61, where the only good drive he had was the one right before halftime.
Well, can you explain to me how you get a rating of 61?
I know it's not good. I mean, I can tell you that much.
Is there any fan out there that can tell us how you get a rating of 61?
No, but I know it's not good. that much I can tell you.
Right. No, but you know, you see my point?
Yes, I do.
I mean, how the heck do you figure that system out?
I have no idea, but I know, like I said, I just know 60 is not good.
60?
Not good. Not good. But 5 picks. I mean, there just has to be a point where if you're Tony Romo, you just drop back and go, you know what? I'm just going to run it myself.
I understand that. Yeah, but that's what makes Tony special.
I mean, 26 first downs and you lose soundly?
Well, field position bad. You're going to get more first downs when the field position's bad.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Well, I didn't really think about that, but you're right. It's just that, you know, that like I said, if you're a Cowboys fan, that really had to be not only frustrating, but actually frightening last night.
Frightening?
Frightening.
What do you mean frightening? Hold on a second. Frightening?
Frightening.
Why is that frightening?
Because they played, I mean, even average would be, I mean, the whole team looked bleh the entire night. Except for that one drive in the second quarter.
Frightening is sitting at Geisinger Medical Center. Okay, that's frightening.
Okay. All right. You know what? You have to take the fun out of everything, don't you? All right, yes. But if you're a fan of the Cowboys, you have to be, all right, concerned. Is that better? I'm sorry, concerned isn't strong enough, I don't think.
Well, you have to be concerned, yeah.
I mean, by almost the end of the third quarter, you're looking at a 24-7 game where the highlight of the third quarter is a 39-yard field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good.
Right.
The only thing that helps Dallas is the fact that the Jets look worse, and there's more discussion about the Jets' offense than the Cowboys' offense.
The Jets.
J-E-T, oh, forget it.
I mean, look, I found the Jets thing has become almost beyond comical.
I agree. I totally agree.
It's comical. Right? It's comical. I mean, it's the only thing I can say about it. The fact that we're even talking about the New York Jets, I mean, tells you what the state is of football in general. And we're talking about the Jets. Now, the irony is the Jets are in first place.
That's disturbing.
I'm just telling you, the Jets are in first place.
That's just disturbing.
Now, it is maybe the ugliest first place I've seen in a long time, but they're in first place.
Are they the worst first-place team you've ever seen?
Yes. Well, No, I thought Seattle was the worst first place team I ever saw. And they beat New Orleans in the playoffs. But, I mean, they were under 500, for goodness sake. Seattle was 7-9. 7-9. And they made it.
Well, all right.
Because they're a division champion.
Let me put you, and I know you're gonna make fun of this right away, but let me put you in Rex Ryan's shoes for just a moment. All right. You have Mark Sanchez. You have Tim Tebow. I know how you feel about Tim Tebow, but I have to ask you this. Do you, after seeing the last couple of performances for Sanchez, say, listen, here's the deal. You've got one more, and if it comes out that way again, we're going to have to make a change, mainly because people in New York are going to start to riot soon.
Riot over what? You riot over a lack of food, okay?
I'll tell you. You just suck all the fun. You suck all the fun out of this.
Yeah, but that's you don't riot over a football game.
Have you ever been to a Jets game? Have you been to a Jets game when things aren't going well? Neither have I. Neither have I, but I've seen some photos and it's pretty ugly. But I mean, Rex Ryan says he's of course he's going to be bombarded with questions the last couple of days, and he backs Sanchez, which a quarterback or a coach should back your starter.
Look,
but is it because he doesn't want to bruise his ego?
Okay, there are two things. Number one, your quarterback should be held as accountable in all this as your left guard. Okay.
Okay.
Right. All so right. if you feel you can replace your left guard, then replace your left guard. If you think winning and you can replace your quarterback and win, then you replace your quarterback because that is your route to winning. Okay? Simple as that.
Yeah,
if you think that that is your route, if you think replacing your left guard, you have to hold every player on your team to the same standard. All right? So you hold them to the same standard and do so. That's if you have somebody who is capable of taking their place. As I pointed out repeatedly, Tim Tebow is not capable of taking he's not an NFL caliber quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball well enough. Is he a great athlete? Yeah, sure, he's a great athlete.
Then are they wasting him by not having this 10 or 20 play package that they supposedly have for him and not use it? You remember when they picked him up, they got him in the trade, they said, you know, we're looking for a 10, 20 play.
Part of it's field position, okay? There's certain parts of the field you can't use it. You know, the Jets haven't been getting, and I'm wanting to watch enough of Jets games to know whether or not they're, you know, whether they're getting enough out of whatever. You know, I haven't watched enough to know. And, I mean, those are some of the issues you have to look at. Now, I know I sucked the life out of this for you, but yeah, Mark Sanchez doesn't have enough around him, okay? Santonio Holmes is now out for the season.
And that's expensive.
Well, it hurts them offensively. He's the only playmaker they have in the club. Okay? Okay, playmakers. He's it. All right? They don't have any other playmakers. And that's the Jets' fault for how they built the team. They don't have enough playmakers. He was their playmaker. They are now out of options. And that's a big issue. Right, when Sanchez started with the Jets, okay, he actually was surrounded by a lot of playmakers. All right, and also had in front of him one of the top three or four offensive lines in the NFL. He no longer has that. So he doesn't have the time to operate anymore. I'm not here to defend Mark Sanchez. But logically, you have to look at the football team they have. Okay? And maybe you play Tebow because your offensive line is that mediocre and he can at least buy you some more time. That would at least make some logical sense that a drop-back pocket passer with this offensive line and the lack of playmakers is a bad combination. And I apologize for sucking the life out of all this for you.
That's okay. I'm getting used to it.
You have Bill O'Brien coming up?
I do. As a matter of fact, I had to laugh because I was doing another show earlier today. And I was going through Ohio State's schedule where they played, and I got four of their five opponents. I said, I can't remember the fifth one. I got a text from Bill O'Brien. Steve, it's UAB.
Nice to know he listens.
Doubled our ratings with one guy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, go to lenapesolar.com. Now, when Bill O'Brien is not texting me, he's a little busy doing other things. I saw that. I cracked up. I thought, oh, we're getting them one listener at a time. You okay over there?
I'm good. Have I
sucked all the life out of you?
Not quite yet, but I'm sure by the end of 5 o'clock, you know.
Hey, look, back in January, you were so excited to talk sports.
I was.
And then my approach to it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is not the TMZ approach.
No.
Drives you nuts.
No. If I wanted to talk reality sports, well, you know, takes all the fun out of it.
Thanks all what fun out of it.
And you haven't helped me with my fantasy team at all, but that's a whole different topic.
You did. You missed your fantasy draft. You got the dregs of society. That's not my fault.
Listen, I'm fourth all by myself. I don't need your help. All right. College football, what's going on?
You missed your fantasy draft. You're blaming. Look, the typical Kevin Herr, things go wrong. It's everybody else's fault.
Yes, it was your fault.
That you missed your fantasy draft.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know, but I'll figure out a reason shortly.
Hmm.
Actually, I was coaching youth football that day. Ah, now you feel bad, don't you? I was volunteering my time to help out young players learn the game.
No, I talked to those players. They say you don't help at all.
All right. There's Bill O'Brien on there. Go hit the button. Let's move on.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm back for the 7 o'clock show. Don't forget to tip your waitress, and don't forget we serve great veal. You walked into that one.
I sure did.
I'm
here for your amusement. All right, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien earlier today, his teleconference. This goes with what we gave you yesterday from Pat Fitzgerald. Now the Penn State perspective.
So can you evaluate the offense as a whole and how much progress it's made since the start of camp?
Well, I would go all the way back to spring practice, Rich, on that, you know, to really evaluate it. When you bring in a new system, it's obviously like learning a new language. So, you know, in the spring, it was up and down, and I felt like in the blue-white game it was okay, and I was concerned about it going into the summertime, and I knew that, you know, because of the rules that we weren't allowed to meet with these guys in the summertime, that the guys were going to have to do a lot on their own. And so we came into training camp, and obviously many of the guys on offense did a lot of work on their own and got together and, you know, either threw routes or worked on blocking schemes on their own or did some things that really helped them coming into training camp. So, you know, I believe we've made progress, but there's such a long way to go. You know, yesterday we show them every week a good and bad tape from the previous game and the Saturday game. And so, you know, it's about 50-50 on offense, good and bad. And so there's so many things to improve upon and so many things to build upon. But I do believe that progress has been made.
Bob Flounders in Harrisburg.
Yeah, Bill, I wanted to ask you a question about your recruiting approach, and I know you can't discuss any names, but I was just wondering, Bill, how big of a priority is it for you to kind of identify future place kickers and punters, and how big of a challenge is it with your recruiting sanctions and your numbers being limited as far as offers?
It will always be a big priority to identify, you know, obviously all the positions of need, and obviously that includes place kicker and a punter. You know, ideally you'd like a guy that could do both, so it's one person. But at the end of the day, you just have to do a really good job of identifying, and it does. You're right, Bob. You're on the money there because, you know, with the scholarship reductions, if you have a great punter or place kicker out there that you'd like to compete in recruiting with, you have to, you know, offer them a scholarship, then that's going to affect your overall numbers. So that's a strategy that we're talking about every day. It's a ever evolving strategy, but it's something that we're very, very well aware of.
Derek Lavarson, Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, Bill, the defense has done a much better job getting off the field on third downs the past few weeks. How much of that is, you know, personnel, you know, getting Mike Hall on the field, moving Amos back to safety, and how much of it is just execution?
And really, you know, when you look at the whole year, the defense has played pretty well. I would say, you know, if you look at the first two games, if the offense had either kept drives alive by converting on third down or scored more points, then, you know, obviously, I'd say all five games the defense has played very well. There's a lot of guys on this defense that really understand their role and are fun to be around. You know, Mike Hull's a guy that really understands, you know, what his role is on the team as a backup linebacker. He's really not. He's basically a semi starter because he plays such a big role on defense and on special teams. So he's a fun guy to have around. Who's the other guy you asked about, Derek?
Oh, just saying how on third down, but, you know, Hull's been getting on the field and moving Amos back to safety. I was wondering how much of a difference that's made for you guys on third down.
Yeah, obviously we've concentrated a lot on third down in practice. We do we work on third down every single day in practice, so we make our players very aware of the sticks and the yardage and on both sides of the ball. And you know, I think our team's improved in that area. Amos is a guy that is an excellent young player who can move around a lot, and he's a big guy. He's a physical guy. He's got good ball skills. He's instinctive, and, you know, he's just done a nice job overall for us this year.
Mark Wogenrich in Allentown.
Bill, what were your impressions of that, the wide receiver, King Coulter, the wide receiver formation that Northwestern used last week?
Well, that's a guy that you have to understand on every single snap where he is. So here's a guy that they're doing a great job with, Northwestern, of putting him in position to make plays. Obviously a quarterback, but then when they move him to wide receiver with his skill set, he's quick, he's got good ball skills, he's a very bright guy, obviously. In order to play quarterback and receiver in the same game, you've got to be a very, very smart, instinctive football player. And so he's a huge challenge for us on Saturday, just like the whole team. Northwestern coming in here is the best team that we've faced. Pat's done an excellent job there of just, you know, putting an excellent team together, an undefeated team, and we've got a huge challenge ahead of us on Saturday.
Frank Bodani in York.
I was wondering if you could offer any more insight into Zach Zwinak's success the last couple of weeks, not only just gaining yards, but he seems like he's literally punishing defenders as he runs.
Well, he just like all those guys at that position, they've all had their moments, and the last 2 weeks he's had decent games. And you know, just like I told all those guys yesterday, though, is don't get too comfortable, because you got a team coming in here on Saturday that's 5-0 that's ready to stop that. So but I believe he's worked hard in practice. I think he's a competitive kid, and it's really, really important to him to play football at Penn State, to go to school at Penn State, and he's done a nice job the last 2 weeks, but we got seven more to go, so he's got to keep it going.
Joe Giuliano in Philadelphia.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Could you go back to your first meeting with Michael Motti after you took the job, what you thought of him and how you thought he would embrace everything you wanted him to do, and has he embraced that, and how quickly he embraced the leadership part of it?
I'd say the first time I met Mike Motti was the night that basically I was hired here, or the day of the press conference. That night I had a team meeting, and he came right up to me after the meeting and had a lot of questions about our strength and conditioning program. So I knew right away that he was a passionate football player. I knew about his family. I knew that his dad had played here and been a great player here and played in the National Football League for several years. And so I could tell right away that football was very important to Michael. And then as I got to know that whole senior class, which is what, you know, we talk about Michael Motti a lot, and Michael would be the first to tell you that there's a lot of guys in that class, the Zordiches, the Hodges, the Hills, the Fagnanos, the Morrises. I mean, you go right down the line. This is a, I don't know, again, I have no idea what's going to happen this year. Like I always tell you, I'm not a genie, but I do know that this is a very special group of kids that practice very hard and have excellent leadership qualities.
Mike Gross in Lancaster.
Hi, Bill. Northwestern, 256 yards and rushing per game and 14 touchdowns. What are they doing right, and what can you do about it?
Well, they're doing a lot of things right, and we're going to, you know, we started last night with practice, and we're trying to figure out what we can do about it, that's for sure. But we got a long way to go this week. You know, they do a nice job with their tempo. They play very fast. They do a great job of spreading you out and making you make plays in space. And they do a really good job of that. And so, you know, these are things that we've got to understand this week. We have to understand who their top players are, where they are in the formation. We have to understand which quarterback's in the game. You know, quite obviously, when you gain 700 yards in a game on offense, it's you're talking about a top-notch. I mean, if not for the Baylor-West Virginia game, everybody would be talking about Northwestern gaining 700 yards in their game. So, you know, they're an excellent football team, well-coached, and we've got a big, big challenge this week.
Donnie Collins in Scranton.
Bill, you've been around a lot of the college athletes, and I'm wondering, work ethic-wise, how does John Urschel compare to the rest of them? How impressed are you with what he's done on the field and off the field?
Really very, very impressed with John Urschel. What a fantastic kid. You know, again, like I've said this before about all these guys, you know, John's got another year, thank God, but, you know, really an older player on our team, and what a great guy to be around. That's why you want a job like this, because you have a chance to coach and be around guys like that. You know, here's a guy that's a 4.0 math major at Penn State. He's graded out at 90% last week in the Illinois game. Just a tough guy, has great flexibility, very smart, very instinctive. Just really what Penn State's all about, John Urschel. And so, you know, again, like I said, we're happy with the way he's playing, and we're really lucky that we have him for another year.
Scott Brown in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, hey, Bill. You've seen a number of games across the country that are producing basketball scores, and you referenced earlier some of the yards that's being piled up. And I just wonder, are offenses that much ahead of defenses now in college football, and if so, why?
I don't know. I think, you know, I believe it's somewhat trendy. You know, I have a great friend out at Oregon, Chip Kelly, who I've known for a lot of years, and, you know, he's just put up incredible offensive numbers out there, and really what it's about is what you believe in, you know, and those guys really have a strong belief in spread offenses and making it a track meet, in the sense that you're going to play very fast, you're going to try to run 90 plays a game and things like that, and that's what they believe in, and that's what football is all about. You have to stick with what you believe in. And so, you know, I don't know if it's the fact that defenses aren't as good and things like that. I just think it's you've got a lot of good athletes on both sides of the ball, and when you spread teams out and you have a really athletic quarterback like West Virginia has. I didn't happen to see the game, but just reading about it and then listening to the commentators and things like that talk about the game. You could tell that that was an up-and-down football game, fun to watch, but not a lot of defense. So, you know, I just think it's two spread teams that went at it and put good numbers on the board. But, you know, again, every year the trend might be a little bit different.
Okay, Brian, at this point we'll take questions here in the media room. Please raise your hand. We'll bring a microphone to you.
Yeah, that was a, you know, we had a tackle over situation there too, where when we're kicking inside the 10-yard line, we put our tackle over because of the angle of the kick when it's on a hash, and so they blocked it from the long side. So you're talking about something that really made me not very happy. That was didn't make me very happy. So we've worked on it this week already, yesterday, and we'll continue to work on it, but. We've got to, you know, like I always tell you, we've got to coach it better and we have to execute that better. But that's definitely something we have to – we can't let that happen.
How do you balance savoring a victory with getting the team focusing on the next challenge? What's the balance like and how do you handle that as a coach?
Right. So, like, you know, as I was saying earlier, what we do is Sunday's their mandatory day off, so we let them get their pats on the back on Sunday. And then when they come in at 2:45 on Monday afternoon – we show them the tape from the game, and we show them all the things that they did well. You know, hey, look, this is really good how you played this, how you did this, how you took this block on, how you made this tackle, how you threw this ball. Then we show them all the things that they didn't do so well and things that we need to coach better and things that they can do better-wise, execution-wise, you know, containing the quarterback. I'd say that's going to be an issue this week. We got to do a better job of that. We got to throw in cuts and crossers better. You know, we got to do a much better job of that. So that's how you do it. You show them on tape. You keep them focused on the things that they're doing well, but you make sure that they understand we got to do these things better if we think we're even going to come close to beating a 5-0 Northwestern team. So to me, that's what we talk about. And then we just, again, like I've always said to you guys, you know, we talk about 12 one-game seasons. So, you know, here we are. This is the sixth of those 12, and we focus on that opponent. What do we have to do with this opponent in order to give us the best chance to win? How are we going to play this game? So we get them pretty focused, and hopefully they stay focused throughout the week.
Hey, with Zach Zwinak, a lot of people have been calling him like a really good downhill runner. What does he do that makes him a good downhill runner? And also, how does one become like a good downhill runner? Or is it more of like an innate thing like with your body type?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a part of your skill set. You know, a bigger back, 230-pound back that is a thick guy that has good speed. You know, he's one of our faster backs. He's got good speed, but he's not a scat back. You know, he's a physical downhill guy. He likes to press the line of scrimmage. There's certain runs that he's good at. You know, there's other runs that maybe he's not as good at and that he's got to improve at, things like that. But what makes you a downhill runner is just you understand the intent of the blocking scheme that we're running. Those are your favorite runs, and you understand how to press the line of scrimmage, make your lineman right, and get the ball into the teeth of the defense as fast as you can. So he's done a nice job of that. He takes care of the ball. He's not a big bounce guy. He's going to run up inside the tight ends and the tackles, and that's what he's been good at doing. You know, there's just, again, we run a lot of different schemes in our offense. So, there's just some other runs that we're working on with all those guys. I would say the same thing for every one of those guys, that there's certain runs that they run really well. Maybe it's an outside run as opposed to an inside run or vice versa. And so we're working on those runs to try to improve with those guys so they can run the whole gamut and do it pretty efficiently. And that's what we're working on every day.
Hey, Bill, how and with whom do you emulate Colter in practice?
I'm not telling you that. No, obviously, there'll be a few guys that do that, Mike. You know, you'll have some guys that rotate in there. You know, obviously, quick guys, athletic guys, instinctive guys, maybe guys that did that type of thing in high school. You know, we've got some guys on our team that were – you know, spread option quarterbacks in high school, things like that. So, you know, that's kind of how you emulate. It's hard. You know, you're never going to emulate it the way it's going to be on Saturday, but you try to give your defense a decent look at it.
Bill O'Brien at his press conference earlier today. You heard Pat Fitzgerald yesterday during this time slot. Bill O'Brien today. We'll try and give you coaches as often as we can during the course of the season so that you hear them unfiltered and not just in soundbite form, and you can get the answers and make your own judgments. And that's what we've done here for you and what we want to do moving forward with the coaches on Tuesday. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Well, I went to talk to Kevin during the break, but he was on the phone.
You're always on the phone during the break. Like, Ham's on the phone, this is on the phone, that's on the phone. Heck, your phone rings during the show.
I know.
I didn't realize you were that popular.
I'm sorry. I know that you said you'd love to see the Rolodex on my phone.
Entertaining a contact list on that cell phone, I have to admit.
Oh, well, forget that.
Like I had a chance anyway.
I'm just saying. I mean, you were on the phone. I mean, you know, stop at Brewer's Outlet, pick up this, you know. I understand how it works. I understand. At least you didn't get one of those calls that said, don't forget to pick up Pampers.
No, I have never had that. Well, I shouldn't say I've never had it, but I haven't had that call. I haven't had that call in about 12 years. Thank you very much. And I don't expect to get that call again for another, 20 or 30.
Yeah.
If I get that call in the next decade, it's going to be very bad.
No, it probably would be. In fact, it would be. That would be scary.
Yeah. Either that, way.
that would be scary in a lot of ways. Yeah. Penn State Northwestern. We'll talk about it next hour. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have Sarah Bartlett back home with us today. She does the news next.